Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Divine Mind Tribe Radio. This is the show where we have dedicated our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our intentions, our expectations to assisting, of course, humanity and you and ourselves in becoming the best possible version that we can embody. Especially during these times, guys, as you know, I think we've all heard enough and talked enough about what's going on in the world, what are certain aspects that can be improved upon in relationship to the old way of living. And when I say the old way of living, I obviously mean, you know, this is a quantum shift into an entirely new state of consciousness. So today's show is not going to be so much what we've been talking about as of recent, you know, the importance of possibly becoming self-sustainable, the importance of maintaining a high vibration. Well, that's a given, no matter what show we're talking about, or what we're talking about on the show. We always got to maintain a high vibration, because that reflects, projects straight into our reality. But today's show, we're going to talk about some really fun and exciting aspects of the human experience that we get to look forward to. Today's show is about shifting the energy from the old into the possibilities of the new. Channeling suppressed energy, suppressed pain, suppressed anger. That all comes from a place of fear. And moving that fear by practicing certain techniques. We're going to talk about holotropic breath work. We're going to talk about the power of stretching, truly, little things. We're going to talk about very small modifications that you can make to your day-to-day life, which will inevitably guarantee a shift in your ability to cope with everything that stands before us. So for those of you that have just maybe picked up on Divine Mind Tribe Radio, I'm going to thank you for taking your Sunday, no matter where you are on the planet, no matter what time it might be. Thank you for taking this day and this hour of your time to share this space via cyberspace with us. First of all, feel free, before we hop in, dive in, I should say, head first. Feel free to email us anytime the email divinemindtribeofficial@gmail.com. Once again, that's divinemindtribeofficial@gmail.com. I want to thank you guys for participating in this movement. We get so many messages from the multitude of platforms that we've been granted and blessed enough to build and create. And everybody that takes the time to send an email or to reach out through Instagram via direct message at Divine Mind Tribe, divine.mind.tribe. You are magnificent and very, very unique. You're like, Dave, what are you saying? Come on, get to the point. There you are. For you to take the time to invest in yourself, to define for yourself, how can I be the best and greatest and highest version of me during the darkest and scariest and most fear-driven time that humanity has probably ever experienced, next to maybe, you know, some really profound events in history, whether it be what happened in 1928, 1931, you know, whether it be Great Depression, or whether it be something as massive as a genocide, whatever massive event in history, you know, which has shaped the trajectory of the present and the future, which is now the present. We are in those same galactic and astrological alignments. So when I share with you the understanding and the concept that we really are in the golden age, there is a facet of what is occurring on this planet right now in relationship to what is occurring within the individual. And the facet is the choice between fear or love. Now, we've talked about fear or love many, many times on the show before. When I say fear or love, it's like saying yin or yang. Like, there's in pretty much an infinite scale of emotions that fall under the category of fear and under the category of love. So if you feel, for example, scared, obviously that's fear, scared. If you feel a lack of worthiness, right? Any form of lack, a lack of, like I said, a lack of worth, or a lack of prosperity, a lack of creative expression, a lack of space, a lack of deliberate control over your ability to handle the external environment. This is the show, this is the space where we can converse, come together, unify, which is of the utmost importance at this time, under the, I should say under, within the understanding that there are no ulterior motives, there is no judgment. Nobody in this community will cast judgment. Nobody. Every single person in this community understands the importance of enjoying life, of being thoughtful, of listening, of learning, of dancing, of taking the medicine of life. And when I say taking the medicine of life, I refer to anything that assists you, that is not harmful to the body, mind, and spirit. Anything that assists you in feeling organically joyful. Now, here we are in this time, in this space, on this planet, where we've reached a climactic point in the vibrational standpoint. Now, what does that mean, vibrational standpoint? We've reached a climactic point within the collective consciousness of our planet where we either unify and stop the old dogmatic patterns that immediately cause us to react out of fear or anything that falls under fear, right? And move into a space of love for one's self. And when you learn to love yourself, you learn to love those around you. And when I say love, it doesn't mean, you know, hunky-dory, like, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Doesn't mean just saying it. It means practicing the vibration of love. Now, love is the highest vibration in the universe. Gratitude is the quickest path to feeling love. If you can feel grateful to any capacity, then you're on the path to loving that in which you are. There is no reason, regardless of the circumstance. Now, this might piss some people off, and I love you if it does trigger you when I say this. But just understand that this really is coming from a place of pure compassion, of pure desire for you to acknowledge what needs to be acknowledged and do the work to shift into the higher vibrational frequencies, which will allow you to think, act, feel, respond to love, compassion, gratitude, empathy, joy, even contentment. So what this statement is this is the time right now. The time is now. This is the time for us to become accountable for the thoughts, actions, expectations, responses, lack of responses possibly, that we have participated in, judgments, any old dogma that we participated in that may have hurt another, may have unconsciously hurt ourselves. Now, when we hurt another, understand we're only hurting ourselves. I've said this a few times. As the Mayans would say, keep in mind the word Maya is actually means illusion. Maya is the Mayan word for illusion. So the Maya is the illusion. So the illusion that we are separate. This is dissolving. The illusion that we are better or worse than another person is dissipating. We are changing the density of our consciousness, just like water, right? So Dr. Masaru Emoto, I've talked about him a billion times and one. A billion and one. This will be the billion and one, billion and first time. We're talking about Dr. Masaru Emoto. He wrote many books on the power of water. One of my favorite being just titled The Power of Water. Make sure to check it out. Once again, Dr. Masaru Emoto. Well, through scientific experiment, Dr. Masaru Emoto was able to prove that setting intentions changed the crystalline structure of water molecules pulled from the same source. So for those of you that are not familiar with the study, the scientific study done with the water in the Fujiwara Dam and the tap water, Dr. Sumimoto and his colleagues took water all from the same sources. This is water from the Fujiwara Dam, and then some tap water, some mountain spring water. Did tests with different sources of water. They then placed with powerful intention, with clear intent. They would write, "I love you," on a piece of tape and stick it to the water bottle, or on a piece of paper and then tape that paper to the water bottle. Or the jar, I should say. And within 24 hours, the crystalline structure of that water was completely different than when they had first pulled it from the Fujiwara Dam. It was in the structure of a snowflake. You know, if you look at a snowflake under a microscope, it almost looks fake. That's how divine and beautiful this just nature is. Nature, the universe, you, the cosmos, water, breath, life, right? So when you get in alignment with that higher self by practicing certain techniques, especially during these times, it's this is the time. There is no other time. This, the now, the present, is the gift. One of my favorite quotes: yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. For that is why it is called the present. When we understand that the thoughts that we practice, the energy that we invest, the participation that we accept will directly affect what we experience. This is when we regain our power. We take it back. Now, when I say take it back, it's been taken from us. It's been taken if you have allowed it. But see, in this concrete jungle, in this artificial matrix that we've been operating in, it's been constructed that we do allow certain lower vibrational thoughts, actions, intentions, expectations to slip into our consciousness, to slip past the intuitive source of knowing what is right. And when I say right, there is no right, there is no wrong, there just is. What is the highest path for me? What is the greatest possible outcome? If I were to see the timelines from a bird's eye view, when you listen to intuition and you don't question it and you don't allow the external forces to manipulate your original intention, you hold your power. But what this concrete jungle, what this concrete matrix has instilled within us is, you know, there are conditions to love, that you do need to be a certain way to be accepted by society. If you don't paddle upstream, if you don't fight, push, try, then you will not essentially receive the ego gratification that you feel you need to continue pursuing whatever it is that you choose to pursue. When you let that go, and that's what we're being asked to do, let that go. When you tap into the intuitive self, when you disconnect as best as you possibly can from responding to circumstances in your external environment that do not immediately bring you life, that do not immediately bring you joy. This is how you hold your power. This is how you take it back. Now, keep in mind, no one can ever take it from you. It's your choice to give it. Now, you say, well, there's conditions. I mean, gosh, Dave, I mean, what am I supposed to say to my boss, you know, if she, whomever is, you know, being mean or doesn't like me for some reason or another. And but I have to do this to keep food on the table to do this. Just keep in mind, you have the ability to create. You have the ability to move through the quantum field, to move through time and space at your own leisure, at your own pace. Keep in mind that we tend to slip easily into continuing patterns that exercise comfort. So sometimes, you know, the comfort zone can be a beautiful place to stop. But a lot of times people will get caught in that comfort zone. And that's why it is so important to push yourself outside of that quote-unquote comfort zone. That's where you learn, right? This beautiful story told by actually a monk. I was watching a TED Talk. And he's an absolutely wonderful gentleman, such a beautiful, beautiful person. If you type in, if you go on YouTube now, I feel absolutely terrible. Of course, right now I'd be blanking on his name. What's funny, I've been saying his name for like the last 2 weeks, talking to friends and family and stuff, saying check this video out. And of course, on air is when I would predict things. But if you type in TED Talks monk speech, it will be the first one that comes up. Okay, it's a viral video right now. One of the stories he shares is there's a man that wishes to reach the top of this mountain peak, and this mountain peak is the most glorious. At the top of this mountain peak is the most beautiful and glorious, just like a heaven. Just think of, you know, literally at the top of this mountain peak, you can see, you're basically in like the city of heaven. Like, it's, you see, you're at the cloud level. You're one with nature. It's the most beautiful and ecstatic experience that one could. You've got to cross some contrasting, you know, sharp rocks, a river in the way that you might have to swim across. So the point, and I'm not going to say the whole story, but essentially the point of the story is, the man starts to climb the mountain, and at the very base of the mountain, people are coming down and they have these huge smiles on their faces. At first, he notices one man coming down from the left. He asks, oh, how did you get up the mountain? And he shares with him, well, I crossed a riverbank and I did this, I did that. And the man says, oh, well, weren't you worried about your socks getting wet and then your feet being uncomfortable for the rest of the walk? And then possibly even, you know, due to low temperatures, getting frostbite. He said, no, I wasn't worried because I was excited to get to the top. So then the man, he says, okay, thank you for the information. And he decides, I'm going to go around this mountain. I'm going to see if there's an easier way to get to the top. And then he keeps walking to the right and he comes across a woman. She's shining bright, big smile on her face, just came down. It was a very blissful peak. And he says, how did you get to the top? There has to be a way that's effortless to the top. And she said, well, the way I went, I had to climb on very, very rigid rocks. But once I got past the rigid rocks, it was so worth it. and it was an easy walk to the top after the rigid rocks. Now, the man then says, well, weren't you afraid of falling and possibly even dying on these rigid rocks? She says, no, because I was focused on being at the top of the mountain. I was focused on my desire and my excitement, but not so much desire as it is excitement to be at the top of the mountain, to experience that level of bliss. Okay, so the man starts walking and he realizes there is no way to get to the top of this mountain without me either climbing some very sharp and rigid rocks where I could put my life in danger, or crossing a riverbank where I could possibly freeze even to death, depending on the temperatures of that night. So he starts his walk up, and on his way up, he comes across this small little food stand, right? Now, who would think, right? Obviously not very good for business, but that's not what we're talking about. He comes across the food stand. Now, the food stand, it's not just a stand. It's small, but it's indoor. He can sit indoors, he can get warm, and it's comfortable. Now, this is about a quarter up the mountain. He still has three quarters to go. He hasn't hit the rigid rocks, or he hasn't crossed the river yet, but he did start his path up on the mountain. So he stops and he sees this man serving food in a very small, what would be considered to be like a hut. He ends up staying at this hut for a week. And the owner of this hut, the man, asks the climber, were you ever intending on getting to the top of the mountain? And the climber says, yes, absolutely, of course. That's why I came here. And the owner of the stand, the man who just made him food and let him stay in his hut for a week, says, well, you're never going to get there if you stay here. So the hiker then goes to say, yes, I know, but I'm preparing myself for a treacherous journey to the top. And the cook who owns the stand comes back by saying, you can never prepare yourself for what you don't know you're going to experience. He says, you do not know if you're going to hit rigid rocks or if you're going to have to swim across a riverbank. You do not know what the weather conditions are going to be like. But I can guarantee if you stay here, you will never get to the top of the mountain. And you will end up turning around. So the moral of this story is, when we get so comfortable because of the things that we are afraid of, we close ourselves off to the potential of the beauty that lies beyond the contrast. And when I say the beauty that lies beyond the contrast, I'm referring to, yes, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be rigid mountains. There already has been. There will be riverbanks that one will have to metaphorically cross. And you might, and you will, get your socks wet. And if you get socks wet, you wring them out. And you keep treading forward. But when you are in the contrasting experience, when you are in the momentum of climbing to your desired destination, if you become consumed by either one, being way too comfortable and just staying there and never really treading forth, never really embracing the lessons that the contrasting experiences have to teach you, you will age, but you will not grow. You will grow to become the same and you will crystallize into becoming more of whatever it is that you continue to put your energy towards every single day. And now, relating it back to the present of what's happening, it is of the utmost importance today more than ever to be aware of your thoughts, to be aware of how much energy you're investing into fear, and then the ripple effect of what the fear, if you so choose to subscribe to it, is making you do or making you not do. So if you allow yourself to only marinate in the comfort zone for too long, and you don't allow the chance of learning from contrast, you will not give yourself the opportunity to experience the level of bliss and heavenly energy that lies at the top of your destination, that lies at your destination. And along with that, the only way, if you notice at the beginning of the story, when the hiker had asked first the gentleman on the right and then the woman on the left, were you not afraid when you had to cross that contrasting sharp rock or rigid rocks or, cross the river, whatever it is? If both of their answers were equal in nature, as they said, no, we were not concerned. We were so excited. Meaning they were present in their journey to the top. Now, when I say the top, there's a lot of connotations that come with the top. The top is joy. The top is being in a place of unconditional happiness, love, life-giving energy, thoughtfulness, empathy, and knowing that you have the ability to control whatever comes across your path by exercising the universal paradox of surrendering. So the only way to control is to surrender. Now, if we understand that the only way to control is to surrender, then we got to start doing some techniques to surrender. So the top of this metaphorical peak would be the representation of, once again, you, the listener, the experiencer, the observer, myself, the experiencer, the observer, allowing to dissipate the fear through focusing on excitement. Say that one more time. The only way to get to the place that you would like to be, right? There's always a next level. There's always a level up. There's always the next plateau. It never, ever, ever ends. Bruce Lee taught us that. There is only the next plateau, right? There is always a level up, always a next plateau. So we must know when to exit those comfort zones and enter and embrace new ways of thinking, new approaches to living this human experience in ways that are life-giving, in ways that allow for a balanced energy, a balanced relationship between your yin and your yang energies, that allow a balanced relationship between the meridian points in your body, between your chakras. Now, for those of you that are curious, the chakras, the meridian point, you can go ahead and look up for yourself. UCLA did a study in 1973, I believe. 73 or 76. Yeah, it was. I think it was 73. 1973, where they had introduced Krillian photography. I've talked about this before as well. Make sure to go on YouTube. Just look up UCLA Krillian photography. Krillian photography. UCLA Krillian photography. If you look up Krillian photography, you'll see that UCLA in 1973 proved through the technology of Krillian photography, which is electromagnetic photography, is being able to photograph electromagnetic energy, that we do in fact have an energy field. And we do in fact influence other people's energy fields in relationship to what our energy is. We do emit energy, we emit light. So if you want to get a better understanding of, you know, keeping a balance between the yin and the yang energies, or, you know, any of these terms or these concepts, look these things up. You can also, of course, DM us anytime. Email us, divinemindtribe@gmail.com, or Instagram. We also have Facebook, Twitter, but we mostly just kind of focus on the Instagram direct messages. So the concepts of today's show revolve around the understanding that there are some really beautiful life lessons to be learned in these times of great change. And in these times of great change, as we continue to embrace the lessons, we must allow ourselves, if we want to maintain access to a state of joy, and not only just maintain, but exponentially grow and unlock our potential for joy, then we've got to apply these techniques, which we are about to talk about, so we can be in the present moment. When you think about the future, you're only thinking about what you're doing. When you think about the future, you are manipulating the present, either in your favor or not so. When you think about the past, you are manipulating the present, either in your favor or not so. Now, every single person will have their own version, their own reality, their own vibrational interpretation of what is going on in their surrounding environment. If we, as the individual and as the collective consciousness, can find a way, which we can, I shouldn't say we can find a way, if we choose to apply these techniques, which we're getting into right now, we will be able to live a phenomenal, very, very fun, ecstatic human experience. So what are some of these techniques? All right. First things first, breath is life. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into this, because I think you know, whoever is listening is a vibrational equivalent to this information. You could kind of come to this conclusion on your own. But with everything that's going on, why is it, right, that it has now become a law, right, for the purpose of what the media, what the mainstream media is manipulating the information and sharing, is it is a government, it is a law to wear the mask, right? We call it the government mandated muzzle. What do you do to a dog when it barks? You muzzle it. And unfortunately, before people muzzled their dogs for barking, right, they originally, the muzzle was created because dogs would bite. And then people's attention spans got less and less and less, and then they put a muzzle on for barking. Now, here we are, people being told that we have to wear government-mandated muzzles. We are incapable of showing each other a smile. Who would have thought that a smile would be taken for granted? When you go around and all you see is people's eyes, you cannot see their face. You can't see when they smile at you. This is all subconscious programming to, number one, take your breath away, literally, I did a test the other day. I ate a banana with, I was walking through the market. We were my phenomenal, absolutely angelic soulmate and heavenly angelic daughter and myself, the three of us were walking through the market across the street from our home, and baby girl wanted a banana. So of course we were purchasing the bananas anyway, so we let her have, gave her a banana. She didn't finish it. So just walking through, I was eating this banana and I could not taste it. And I realized, why can't I taste this banana? I can breathe perfectly. But why can't I taste this banana? Oh my gosh, I'm wearing the mask. So I pulled just my nose down out of the mask, and instantaneously it was like this explosion of flavor. And it was interesting because it was like, whoa, my taste buds were making up for blocking my ability to breathe. And when we block our ability to breathe, we block our ability to stream in life force. So technique, we got to breathe. We got to not just breathe. You're like, baby girl agrees. And thank you guys for understanding. As we are in these times, we do everything remotely, right? So we do have our families around us. So thank you for appreciating the organic nature of our shows. So number one, we've got to learn how to breathe properly, not just breathe. When I say, all right, we got to breathe, they're like, well, I'm breathing right now. Okay, so I'm doing the work. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it. No, we've got to breathe consciously, deliberately, with power. In the same way that you exercise your muscles, you exercise your ability to breathe. You exercise your cellular capacity to flow cosmic energy through breath. Delicious. It actually tastes good when you can activate your ability to breathe with deliberate intent and be conscious of how you're breathing. Your whole lungs, I mean, pockets open up that feel like almost to the point of like your lungs are almost out of your body. That's because we are quantum, we are energy beings. When you are breathing, not just into your lungs, you're breathing into the cellular membranes of your body. And if we have hundreds of trillions of cells, that's a lot of breath. That's a lot of energy. Make sure to look up on YouTube, holotropic breathing. That's H-O-L-O-T-R-O-P-I-C. Holotropic breathing. Or holotropic breathing techniques, whatever your choice. Look up some of these videos. Learn from people that have been practicing breath work for a long time. Breath work is nothing new. This is actually, this goes back to our thousands and thousands of years ago. So breath is life. They're really trying to take our breath away. Don't let it happen. Deliberately and consciously learn to breathe. Be a deliberate breather. In the same way, number two, in no order whatsoever of importance, they are all equally important, become a deliberate thinker. Watch how you have been programmed to judge people without even knowing them, without even considering your own relationship to what you're judging within yourself. So you even tally mark it, there's so many techniques that we can apply to become more aware of how we think, how we how we cleanse ourselves, how we cleanse our space, our home, our vehicles, our ability to transport ourselves. How do we, what is the status of these things? So number three, keep your space clean. Do your best. I know there's, hey, if you got this time at home through work, in between the kids, in between spending time with your loved ones and nurturing and loving and caring for others, you must nurture and love and care for yourself. And the, one of the best ways to do that is keep your space clean. When you clean your space, you clean your internal space. Your external environment is a direct manifestation of your internal environment. So if you want to feel good on the inside, you got to feel good on the outside. And the only way to feel good on the outside is to clean out the clutter. So clean the external clutter. And you know what? If it takes time, that's all right. Nothing needs to be done overnight. Nothing. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be done overnight. And that, in and of itself, brings peace of mind to know, oh, I don't have to get this done overnight. I can start the process of visualizing how I want my space to look and embodying the feeling of how I want my space to feel. And you hold on to that emotion. And the more you hold on to that emotion, the more you practice that vibration, the more inclined you will be to having an effortlessly clean external environment, which therefore will directly reflect into a delicious and cleansed and clean internal environment as well. So three techniques to start off. Do breath work, conscious breath work, deliberate breath work, holotropic breath work. Number two, once again, not that one is more important than the other, you must embody becoming a deliberate thinker. When you can be aware of how you judge people or how you judge yourself or the words that you say without you even realizing that you might be saying them or the thoughts that you think, that become deliberate and shift it into things that feel good. Drop the judgment, drop the blame, drop the guilt, drop the worthlessness. It doesn't serve you and it sure as heck doesn't serve anybody around you. Number three, keep your space clean. All right, guys, with the minute that we have left on the show, along with that, drink water with intention. Just like Dr. Masaru Emoto taught us, when you set an intention with water, it does not have to be 24 hours for the molecular structure to change. It changes instantaneously. Drink your water and give thanks for it. Eat life-giving foods. Eat food that contains life. Eat living foods. You don't want to eat dead, okay? You can take that in your own perspective and apply it to your life. And there are other ways to get the necessary nutrients and proteins that we have been told that we need and never question the source of the information. We were just told, oh, we need this. And if we don't, then we feel weird. Well, there are other ways to feel even better by eating life. Listen, thank you so much for taking your energy on your precious Sunday to spend this hour with us on Divine Mind Tribe Radio here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I am humbled and grateful beyond comprehension to have this platform to speak with you guys, to speak directly to and with you guys. We've taken a break, a hiatus momentarily from posting on the Instagram. If you're wondering what's going on, we are focusing on maintaining our own high vibrations. And a part of that is disconnecting from social media, disconnecting from mainstream media, disconnecting from what other people have to think or have to say about anything, and focusing on our own internal guidance system. So we thank you for your patience with that. We love you so much. You have the power. Dream big, enjoy life, be thoughtful, snuggle and hug and kiss the people, the ones that you love. Learn to be a great listener, and you will embrace the knowledge and wisdom of the cosmos that lie within. Play outside, dance in the rain. Eat a cupcake while you're at it. Smell the roses. Smile, share joy, and embrace kindness with every opportunity that it presents itself. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, prosperity, worthiness, divine worthiness, angelic guidance, love again, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next Sunday. And just know we're always here, right behind the eyelids. Mwah. Thank you.